Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I rarely do this on The Mike O'Mara Show, but I will tell you that I was driving today to get printer paper
in
the wee hours of the morning to go to the local convenience store known as Walmart. And a song that I caught about 10 seconds into it came on the radio.
Yes.
And
hold it. You mean they still do radio?
They still do radio. However,
with disc jockeys?
This song came on the radio and I was listening to it and it put me, once in a while, this does not happen every year.
Right.
Every now and then, a song will come on that actually puts me in the Christmas spirit. That is so, hold.
Right.
Don't think
just
ahead.
Just standing
me,
by?
Let me finish.
Okay.
Let me finish. I was in the Christmas spirit. But, anyway. really.
Well deserved.
It's soul sucking. Your punctuality
understandable.
Is soul crushing sometimes. So anyway, I'm listening, but that's it. I'm not going to, you do plenty of good work and I love you like a son, like an older son. So I can't yell at you.
Was your gestation period 11 months?
No.
I thought maybe he was late to be born even.
No, it's, you know, when, it's
you know, when he would be here 15 minutes before, if your name was Dora Bush.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He'd be here at 7 o'clock.
I wouldn't be here at all. Cause that's not her name. It's Doro.
Dora, whatever.
The Explorer.
Well, I don't want to have her same
name. Sorry, that was disrespectful of me to the Bush family.
Yes. So,
Doro.
Yes.
You would be here.
I'm actually not here for them because I'm usually elsewhere. You know who runs them? Rob Ford does now.
Yeah. All right. That's a show.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's it. I'm tired of it. You also know the drill.
Yes.
Why repeat it?
Yes.
So I'm listening to this song, and by the time the show's like halfway through, I'll be back to normal.
Yeah.
I'll be back tomorrow.
I'd say just before sometimes. That. I'd say
and
before
you know
that.
What? And he's very contrite and very remorseful, unlike his usual persona, which is very nice.
Yeah.
Like, that's good. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I have no footing. I have no leg to stand on. This is me. Yeah. I am a broken man.
Yeah. It's your one.
Yes.
I could go back and list the pros and the cons, and I'm going to give you a compliment, which I probably shouldn't. The pros would be on the left-hand side. It would be a very long list of how you have come to me and created this thing. And on the right, on the other list, in
one little thing,
red
bold
letters,
bold,
just with a big P for punctuality.
Yes.
How about a T for tardiness?
PT.
You use your letter, I'll use my letter.
Yes.
They're both consonants.
I'll use the letter D, as in dick.
Right. Oh, okay. No arguments over here.
This was anybody else.
But you know, anyway. So I hear this song,
uh-huh.
and I before I play it because I want to play it today, on a Friday show, in its entirety because we never do it. I say we never do that. But I just love it, and I hope you. I hope that the song that I play, and I know there are going to be people that are going to be disappointed,
right?
And there might be people that are happy, and there's going to be a small number of people that go, "Me too."
And that's really who you're catering to. That's the people. That's your that's
not
your
the
people.
Hashtag Me Too.
No.
Yeah. So the disc jockey, I'm listening, but it's been so long since I've heard the version of this Christmas classic that I didn't know who did it, and I immediately wanted to. And the DJ, the just bottom fed. Fresh out of Denny's busboy line, you know. And by the way, the busboys at Denny's are better guys than this disc jockey.
Wow.
Ooh.
This guy sucked so bad and wanted to get into his promo for Moe's Southwestern Grill so quickly.
Oh, yeah, he's got a chart he needs to keep up
he's
with.
He's a Moe's guy.
Yeah. It's you can tell. By the way, this is irrelevant because it doesn't need to happen with music jocks anymore. But you need to be aware of the music you're playing
always
when you're disc jockeying. You need to engage in the music so that your listeners can find that symmetry between you and the tune. If you're going to take a and you come back over to the microphone, absolutely not getting into the music.
Problem.
You're failing your audience, which this guy did in spades to the point where I wanted to pick up the phone. And go, do you even care? Or are you so getting a Woody,
him,
you nerd? And he was a nerd, too, with a speech impediment.
Give him a program director check call?
What's the hotline over there?
Come on. Say, don't forget, Mode Southwest Grill, I'm getting paid less. I'm paying the station to put me on.
It's Market 231.
It is. Is that what Fort Myers is?
I think we found it last time.
I think we did, too. Yeah. So anyway, but it doesn't take away from the fact that I immediately dive into my iPhone and do a deep dive.
Right.
And wanted to play this for you. And if it works for you, I am happy. If it doesn't work for you, then that's okay, too. But please indulge me and everybody else. And we are going to take a little 2.5 minute break here because we are going to play my favorite version of this song. Go ahead, you can hit it. This is really a great song and a great version. Leanne Rimes, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Merry Christmas. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. And I'll shut up now and I'll let the ladies sing. I love it. Crank it up, Rob.
Rocking around Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can't see. Every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone's dancing merrily in a new old fashioned way. Hey! tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone's dancing merrily in a new old-fashioned way. Rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday.
I love the combination of the massive orchestra.
Yeah, it's big,
in
man.
Back of her. And you know, I was never a fan of the original, believe it or not.
Brenda Lee.
Because I thought Brenda Lee's little, yeah. little that. And Leanne Rimes kind of bridges that gap a little bit for me.
Ooh, so.
A phone call. Hold on, we have a telephone call.
We actually do have a phone call. Is the caller there? Hello.
Yes, the caller is here.
Mike, this is a surprise call for you.
A surprise call for me?
Yes, a surprise call for you. Caller, I will let you take it over.
You know what? Speaking of a surprise caller, even with a very white sounding voice, what friend would not indeed call Michael Mira to congratulate him on this 10th anniversary of podcasting? And as we all recognize, indeed, as one with a wife and three kids, would not appreciate them even more. And I know that indeed he does. Does he have any idea?
Mike?
I totally recognize the voice, but I'm trying to place it.
NFL on CBS. JB.
JB Brown. That's why I recognize the voice, but you're not on the magic box. So I didn't recognize it right away. JB James Brown, how are you, my friend?
Well, Rob and I just figured that the indeed would give it away because every week I would love to get my on-the-air critique from one Michael Maris and JB.
The grammar is good. The context is good. The linguistic impressions are all good, but get rid of the indeed. And indeed I am.
Indeed. Oh, James, JB, so nice of you to call. That's wonderful. You've always been helpful to our teeny tiny little podcast while you sit up at the top of the mountain, still getting it done, ladies and gentlemen, and still loving it. And, God, you know, it's funny. Every time, you're such a nice person. You're so kind to us. But every time you come on the show, I just think about how rich you must be. It's just amazing.
No, you know what? It is rich in friends like you. It is rich in family with four grandkids. You know, the rest will take care of itself. But I'm very thankful to be, just like you, to still be doing that which I enjoy immensely.
Oh, man, from CBS and one of the best, and really has been for a long time.
Let me embarrass James Brown just for a second, because when I sent out 8,000 emails to get people to send congratulatory messages for our Vegas show.
By the way, I didn't know you were doing this at all today. I had no idea.
No, surprise. This is a surprise for you, because in observance of our anniversary tomorrow, James Brown got back to me a day after the fact and apologized for not doing it. I got a lot of no's, but I never got an apology. That's what a kind guy this is. And I said, could you call in on the day of? And he said, absolutely. So really, thank you, JB, for availing yourself to us. We appreciate it.
Hey, Rob, first of all, the two of you are certainly the best as it goes. I'm just getting to know Matt as a result of today. But look, I have always had huge admiration for Mike, just being a good person, loving the fact that he, again, as I said before, his wife and the three kids, that's what's most important, that things are going well. And at the end of the day, we know that is all that counts. But continued success in the superb fashion that you have been doing for all that I've been blessed to hear you on the air. Continued success, buddy.
Not only that, he picked the Cowboys last night. He picked the Bears last night, rather.
I picked the Bears.
He picked the Bears.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
Hey,
yeah.
I know who I need to call, especially as we get deeper into this postseason, close to the postseason. I will talk with one Michael Merrill to make sure that I can tell him I went to the Sage to get the information.
God bless you, James. JB, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Hey, God bless you guys. Congratulations again. I know it's officially tomorrow, as Rob said, but keep knocking them alive, buddy.
Oh, wow. Thank you, buddy. Thank you very much. That's James Brown.
Merry Christmas, JB. All
right. I'm completely surprised. So when I came in and wanted to play a 2.5-minute song while you had JB lined up at... you probably had him lined up for 8:30, did you not?
Don't worry.
So between me and Oscar...
Oscar already screwed it up.
Yeah, I screwed it.
So, yeah.
Sideways.
It's lucky that JB is a very, very kind man, because his time was shifting like craziness. It shifted four times this morning.
So has this shifted everybody now that's going to do that? How many people are we going to get today?
Oh, don't get happy. You know.
That's just him. It's just him.
It's just him.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I thought he was a Hallmark enough guy.
I thought you were like, I didn't know. I mean, you surprised
Expectations were high, Mike.
This is why I don't like surprises.
James Brown!
Well, hold on. Are you telling me the truth or not? Because you said you sent out a bunch of emails.
No, because remember,
Is he the only one that we got?
No, remember, we had 20 video messages at our Vegas show.
Can I try to help just a little bit?
You didn't call
a million people and they said no.
No.
Let me just set the table here. We had what I would say a 5-day window to get as many video messages in that if you were at the live show, you would have seen of people calling to congratulate.
Yeah, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah,
Gilbert.
Gilbert Godfrey. Like, it really was a quick turnaround because we got the green light from Zappos saying, yes, we can use X. So once we got the okay, we went and got Donnie Simpson. We've got Patton Oswalt. And I'll say this as far as JB goes, the idea that JB wrote a day after we wrote in and we already had packaged all these video calls.
Right.
And said, I'll call in on the day of.
Yeah.
That's how classy this man is.
So great.
Well, it's great to hear from him. He's a wonderful broadcaster and working in that snake pit, CBS for that many years. You gotta negotiate that. You gotta work your way through all that crap and deal with it.
He left Fox for CBS. Yes,
that's right.
Absolutely.
He left the funniest video show.
Yeah.
And by Kurt Medvey, I mean, with all due respect, dude, you are not James Brown.
It's insane.
And, it's just not the same with the dynamic. I miss him on Fox. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. But getting back to what's really more important than James Brown, my pick last night.
Yes.
Which I was out to dinner with my bride.
I was so pissed when I saw that night, score.
Me too. Not happy.
The Bears beat the Cowboys last night.
Just like that caller was telling you, Mike, on the Yak Shack, watch out for the Bears.
My strategy. This is my strategy, Rob Spiewak.
That's
so
right.
The first game falls, and I go the opposite of you. And that's, by the way, that's the only thing I did.
You went the opposite of America.
Yeah, you did.
No one really was calling for the Bears to win. And then it was like 31-21, and I was like, maybe. No, there's only 3 minutes left.
Oh, no.
It's over.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Well, if it's one and you didn't, like, upset the whole apple cart with other people calling in, that's fine. I'm not, you know, by the way, I don't want to be ungrateful or appear ungrateful. And it's great to hear from James Brown.
Right.
It is truly great.
A-lister.
NFL guy. We've known him for years on the Mike O'Mara show, but I have to say, on the stage at the live show and now here, I am very ill at ease with anniversary greetings. I don't know why. It's just it feels a little self-serving. It feels
but
a
you
little,
didn't do it.
You know, no, you didn't do it.
And I know
only
I didn't
10
do
years
it.
Only
you
comes,
call people like, hey man, I'm doing the show. Come on out. Hey,
10 years only comes once, Mike. It
also,
only comes once.
You know what the ask was? Oh, was somebody else?
All right, I might have lied. There might be one
gonna
more.
No, he's going to play. He's going to play 10, like 19 days till Christmas.
Look who's on his game! And he picked the Cowboys.
19 days for Christmas shopping.
I'm on fire.
Fire!
Fire!
19 days for Christmas shopping. Only got 19.
There's only 19, Oscar.
Damn it!
Hi there. Christmas is coming. Have you done your Christmas shopping? Only 19 days left.
You get the feeling when he asks if we've done our Christmas shopping, he doesn't really care.
Hey, are we at about the 16-minute mark of the show today?
Yes, exactly.
Just want to make sure I don't screw that up after the bonus show. So somehow a finger or a phone call or something brushed my timer for yesterday's one-hour bonus show, which went almost an hour and a half because your boy here was looking at the wrong
clock. We were
clock.
On fire.
So I thought you were just really into the fire. Content. And I said, the longest bonus show ever.
For purposes of psychotherapy,
yes.
Yeah.
Let me enlighten you as to what darkened my day yesterday.
Oh no!
I had it was this is just the way it goes. So I'm over getting ready. What my drill is after we get done taping two shows, I might go up, hit a couple of balls, and then I go pick my son up at school with his buddy and take him back out to Cocoonville to get to golf.
Oh, you had mentioned that. Yeah, Michael and Donnie were going to spend some time together.
So I'm up there, and even
Don
though
Mike.
I, by the way, even
no.
What are the odds?
What did you say?
Right now they're just playing double A ball, but we'll get them in the big league soon.
As you guys know, I get to play as much golf down here as I want to in the afternoon when I get done working. It's fine. And I shouldn't be just, I'm up there and there are friends dropping in and everybody's got guests and everything. And it's this bunch of guys that are all, and it made me realize for a moment that while I'm plugged in, I'm really not, nor will I ever be. And, you know, it's just like,
friends.
You know? They have real friends and I don't. I have one good friend who I'll be getting together with next week.
Like, you have America.
Yeah.
I have America.
The world is your friend.
You don't need a little interpersonal friendships. You have America.
That's just a sidebar. Okay. But they're all up there and they're all going out. And then it's empty. And I'm up there by myself. And then there's my buddy Skip, who's down there, and he's hanging out. And then another buddy, Bob, who's in the real estate business. And he actually had some clients that he showed my house to the other
day. Oh, what about
and
Bob?
So,
that's nice.
So this happens on the range that I mosey over afterwards to see how the house showed.
Right.
When we showed
it. Which, by the way, I saw the pics. Real nice.
Yeah. We saw the pics.
Yeah, but this is off air.
This is off air.
Yeah.
So anyway, he says, oh, really, really was. Matter of fact, somebody's going to be writing an offer on the house today.
Hey!
4 days? Are you kidding?
I said 3 months.
And I try to play it cool, right? Yeah. I try to play it really, really cool. And I'm like, oh, well, I hope it's a good one. Thanks a lot. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to hit any more balls after this. I'm going to call Carla, like, immediately. And so I jump into my little old man golf cart, and I immediately get on the phone. I'm like,
you're sitting there with a huge real estate rager, and you're calling with the good news.
Carla, who is in her own way, not in her own way, she is just more savvy than me, does not share the exuberance that I share.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she says, well, we should call our realtor to give him a heads up. I said, no, no, Kevin is it. Mike, it, full disclosure, we're not trying to hide anything. I was trying to find, but they got an offer coming in. And I'm like, and so she calls. And this guy says, well, I was already called by this other realtor.
Oh, okay.
And I only call when I receive them because I've been burned in the past. Well, that's the first time where that moment happens where it's just
the so first he's saying that he doesn't even believe it's a real offer. Suddenly
goes in that him saying that to me means with a capital D, dick. And so the day goes on, and then I'm right before we're gonna have dinner. We get a babysitter last night, and Carla says to me that this offer is according to our guy was going to come in between about 6 and 7.
Mm.
Okay. So at 7:15-ish, I start getting
the blues.
8 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Oh,
to bed.
It must have ruined Wheel of Fortune.
Kudos to our realtor who was, you know, a savvy guy himself.
He knew
you don't. And so anyway, that's
my sister went through this
guy with the mouth. You know, why do they say that if they're not doing that? Shut up.
This is the Tinder period of your buying and selling a house.
So the swiping of right and the swiping of left.
The Tinder period. Yeah. I haven't been swiped.
There's a lot of, hey, you've been swiped on. Like, we're going on a date.
Yeah.
And ghosting.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, what happened to our patter? It's gone.
Very sad.
My sister
Very
would sad. Call me with similar calls about, she goes, we showed the house 3 times this weekend. And I'm like, hey, Tatiana, 3 months. 3 months. Yeah. I know you get emotional. I know you're going to get invested. You probably told the family you're moving in 3 days.
I was sitting there, Oscar, because you know what it is for me? For me, not just the getting out of here and having everything tidy.
Yeah.
But it's the status, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the immediate ticky-tacky land that I live here. Yeah. It was me going, I was already bragging. I was doing it all the wrong way because in my mind I was going, yep, 3 days, 3 days.
That's all
three
I needed.
Days.
Yeah.
That's all I needed.
Yeah.
So if he's in the Tinder period now, when does his house enter the grinder period?
Hey, guess what? You can start the show with your own line. Thank you.
This is Trip Affleck from Austin, Texas.
Say woo! Who's the P1 Hall of Fame hustler that all the listeners love? You damn right. The men want to be like him and the women want to get with him. Or maybe it's the other way around. Man, this cat Trip is a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Hey, I'm just talking about Trip Affleck. When you're ready to make the scene, be like P1 Hall of Famer Trip Affleck and get all the fly gear from the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner, fool.
The best of O'Mara.
Monday. All right, before we get to Oscar's review of a really, really good restaurant in Washington, D.C., and the Todd Moore farewell dinner, we need to take time, Oscar, and recognize our man, Mr. Spiewak, and the Spiewak Kitchens.
Oh, yeah.
In full operational mode this weekend with tons of people. Just moving ingredients and putting stuff in the pot and making it up. What? But the
name
first
names
and what?
Yeah, go ahead.
Name names. Okay.
Right, I want to thank my crew.
Oh, yeah,
I want to thank my crew. We had Matt Ponyboy Bloom. Woo! We had Madeline Masiello.
Matty.
We had
slow down. Make it. Milk it. Milk it.
We Start had again. Okay. We had Matthew Ponyboy Bloom.
Woo!
We had Madeline Masiello.
Ooh.
We had Maddie's boyfriend, John.
Ooh.
We had the lovely Shannon Z, Mrs. Zabios, Shannon Katie. We had my stepmom, Kathy, who is fantastic.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Dahlia the intern came by
Dahlia
on Sunday.
Dahlia did.
Yes,
wonderful.
Absolutely.
Dahlia.
And Mike, my MVP, Pony, I think we got the one guy left, right? Mark Twitch Riddell.
Oh. Yeah.
who showed up early and stayed till closing both days just because he's a good guy.
Was saying his praises.
Oh, he's amazing. And he's a,
did you take Twitch out for a nice cocktail afterwards?
I will. No one wanted a cocktail at the end of either day.
Yeah,
we all just wanted to go home.
I understand.
The first day we did about 12 hours. The second day we did about 9 hours.
Yeah. And it's, thank you.
And thanks to the system that Shannon has pretty much put in place, I came into the fruit caking with pretty much a recipe and a procedure, but Shannon put it into a system so that all day something is being done at all times. If it's not baking, it's mixing. If it's not glazing, it's cleaning. And the whole thing is
because we put the system on trial.
The problem with making fruitcake, the hardest part of making fruitcakes is not the making of the fruitcake. It's, I know he doesn't care.
I said my wife.
No, I'm not saying you don't care. But the fact
I would have loved to have been there.
We would have loved to have had you.
Well, I was at the other business.
I know. I understand.
Business, so
but
feed the family.
I didn't really mean wanted you there. I was just being pleasant.
You know, Shannon said it was so funny. She goes, "It's less tense with you around." And I'm like, "What do you mean?"
To
she
you?
Was, yeah, but she was kidding because when I'm around, for some reason, I am the tense one. How's that even possible? I'm the nicest guy around.
You're the recipient of something that I get all the time.
That's
what you said to me over the years.
I know, but that's why I thought
you
it was
more
so,
than anybody.
I thought
said
it was so strange because she said, no. Like when you're wiring and pushing stuff around, like, no, nobody wants to be around you. I'd rather be baking cakes.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right.
But we've got a great crew. I'm very, very proud of them. And it needs to be said, Mike, there's an old motto that a bad start is a good finish.
Ooh.
All right. So I FaceTime with Rob on Saturday. And,
Saturday at about noon. And actually, by the time that you got us, it was a really good time because we had gotten into the groove. I think we had had a batch and a half done already.
Yeah.
And you see, one thing I wanted to say is that the baking of the fruitcakes is really only about half of it. Because then there's the glazing, the packaging, the wrapping, and the boxing.
Ooh, that's the glazing.
The glazing.
I came over to help you with your glaze.
Smithers, would you glaze my fruitcake?
But the baking is, that's where you're moving the most product and you're weighing and
shake and bake.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on. So you call us about
you are a positive guy and you and even if you're not positive, you put the positive front up for everybody else. So
as
you're
the bakery manager, Mike, I think it's part of my job to keep a positive attitude in the bakery.
So I don't know how bad it was, but I thought about what you told me that happened early in the morning. And when you told me this, I thought about it. I thought about one particular aspect about it when you talked about the disaster.
Yes.
Now, do you have a crash sound effect? I
do, as a matter of fact.
Tell the audience what happened. By the way, Saturday is officially baking day. That's when it begins. That's when we break open the doors.
Bake day.
Right.
And we bake those delicious confections that are going to go out to the world.
The world. And there is weeks of prep that lead up to this because, you know, all of the ingredients have to be in place. All of the licensing and all of this has to
bombs,
be done. And as you recall, I think I spoke to you guys last week that on Wednesday I went into the bakery and did an inventory of over 1,000 pounds of fruit and nuts and ingredients.
Incredible.
Now, had to be restacked, everything set, ready to go. And actually,
more than last year, right?
About 50% more. And so I went to Costco on Friday to get eggs and oil and other dry ingredients that are best bought not online and got everything together. And I'm going to get to the bakery at 8 on Saturday morning. And I asked the staff to be there at 9 because I want to make sure things are in order. Turn the ovens on. Takes a while for the convection ovens to come up to heat.
You're
all
also the general of the day.
Exactly. So I get there at about 8:05, and I open the door. And I don't use the front door.
No.
I use the loading bay door, the big double
doors. That's how we can get in that the room.
Well, yeah, because the other door, Mike, is just a standard width. I don't want to have to walk in sideways. Is that what you were going for?
Yes, thank
you. All right. Okay, that's how you phrase the joke, by the way.
Do you have a loading dock door that I can use, please?
I open up, and the first thing I see is I said, oh, did we get another delivery? Wait. Why did they move my boxes? Because they said they're too heavy. They didn't want to have to move them. And why are they on the... And why is there a big... Oh, my God!
Oh, my God.
Between the closing of the bakery Friday night and my arrival on Saturday morning, the table the heavy duty folding table that's used to, because you always store your ingredients off the ground.
See,
that's
now you're
code.
Using two words that normally don't go together.
What's that?
Heavy duty and folding.
No, this is, you know what? I take this back. This right? is, no, this yeah. is an industrial.
No one ever said.
This is an industrial strength table.
Before we go on, because I didn't do the
portable.
Certainly was
I should
not.
Say, you know what I should say? Portable.
What is it? A canasta table?
It is not
do
a canasta.
Do the legs fold? Do the legs fold?
The legs do fold, but that wasn't the issue at hand.
I know, but I'm just trying to get to the bottom of what caused this disaster for you on Saturday.
So when I began to realize, I looked over and the table that was at one point parallel with the ground, the table was now in two pieces.
Why is it so loud for me and no one else?
Because you have...
But you know, a good crash
you like
has
them loud?
Loud?
You like them loud?
I like the crashes loud, yeah.
Bear with it, Snowflake. It'll be okay.
Sorry. I've got young ears.
So then How many pounds of stuff was on that table just out of...
Well, it wasn't all 1,000 pounds of stuff, but I would say there was probably 500 pounds of stuff on the table, which you think about if you... I guess perhaps I taxed it a bit, but...
Who was responsible for putting the stuff on the table?
I put the stuff on the table. Oh, okay. But you know what? That was our storage space that we were allotted, and that's what I had to use. So I
put it on the floor.
No, you can't.
They gave it to me. I ate it.
No, you can't store food ingredients on the floor. That's against code.
That's right. That's the. Yeah. Oh, see, he knows that. He went to class for it.
Right. So the thing that really, as I'm looking around, I said, "Well, I guess nothing's broken." There were some gingerbread houses boxed up on the table as well. They survived the crash as well, which is great.
Let me ask you about the table again.
Yeah, please.
So if you were to look at the table
yes,
and say, turn it over
yes,
and see a sticker on it
yes,
because it's industrial, do you think it might have a capacity on it?
It might, but you know what? Okay. I did not think to check. But you know what I know is that last year I had roughly the same amount of ingredients. And because this was the ingredients less all the other stuff that I had brought in. So I assumed, not a good idea, I assumed it would be okay. And it wasn't. Okay.
What were you going to ask?
This table is commercial grade.
Right.
Would you stand up on this table?
Which table? This one
here?
Yeah,
this one right here.
Well, no, because you'd yell at me.
No, but...
You'd say, hey, big fatty, fat, I'm get just, off the
I'm,
table.
I'm just saying, like, there's got to be a weight limit on something, right?
Sure. Well, everything has a weight limit.
Well, 500 pounds is amazing amount of weight.
Yeah.
I would have stood on that other table, the folding table.
You would have?
Of course. Yeah.
Was it metal?
It was metal braced. A
metal brace is not a metal folding table.
Listen, I want a picture of that table.
Yeah.
I want a photograph.
Table's gone.
What do you mean it's gone?
It's in the dumpster. It's gone.
Are there any tables that are similar in the kitchen?
I think there is the one that we replaced it with is actually a longer version of the same table. It was a 6-foot table.
Can we get a second witness, maybe in the control room, that saw the table?
Well, Pony saw the table.
And you know what I would compare it to? It's like the lunchroom tables that you would find at a school. It didn't seem like it would necessarily hold an enormous amount of weight. And I'm looking up just like your standard folding table, and what I'm getting here is 300 pounds max.
Oh, whoa.
So we might have overdone it a bit.
We might have. But you know what? As always, like when we started fruitcaking last year, we've learned a lot. And we keep learning. And that is part of life's journey.
Yeah. That's cool. That's how the one thing that stuck with me all weekend was when you talked about...
I want to tell you what. As I began to survey the situation, and the saddest thing of all is...
You said that you didn't lose that much stuff.
No, but I'm standing there looking at it, and this is a big commercial bakery, nearly 5,000 square feet all told, and I'm by myself. The lights are off. Oh, I'm just there first thing in the morning, really brimming with a positive attitude because I really feel like this is going to be the year that we're going to start and hit the ground running knowing what we're doing.
Could it be done in one weekend?
It might be done in one weekend. And then I look and I see that some of these boxes that had been so neatly stacked and organized are now actually, they appear to be standing on their tip like a diamond.
Ooh.
And I said, and what's that puddle? That shimmering puddle.
That's a tease. We have to take a break. Yeah. We're going to find out what the puddle is. And no, it's not Rob Spiewak's urine.
I'm afraid I released.
There you go. We will come back and find out what the puddle was.
Oh. Oscar, it is your father.
I listen to The Mike Show.
The Mike Show!
And then,
The Mike Show!
There was a segment on The Mike Show where you talked about me dying in the list you gave me.
I am disappointed in you.
Am I your payaso? Which means, am I your clown? Oh, am I your clown, right, in Spanish?
No. And, am I your clown? Yeah. Oh my God.
And it sounds worse in Spanish.
Yeah, payaso.
Like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Your brother's being pushy. Tell him to back off.
Say hello to my little friend!
Don't be un payaso! The TMOS bonus show is an extra uncensored hour of La Diversión. Every week, order a subscription today by clicking the banner at MikeOmaraShow.com and you'll have a plethora of the Mike Bonus Show.
Payaso.
The tears of a clown.
The best of O'Mara.
So when we left Rob Spiewak in the commercial kitchen, he was standing in front of a puddle.
Alone.
Yeah, all alone. And I do believe at this point, I just have my fingers laced and they're on my head.
And I've seen you sad before. And look, a sad Rob Spiewak is a sad Rob Spiewak.
It was really, it was
the silhouette of the Bombay doors open behind you.
Yeah, open those Bombay doors. Bombay,
hey,
not the
Bombays.
The
not what you're looking for. Hey, Pony. Hey, Bombay's every morning constitution.
Yeah, buddy. So... I look, and the boxes, none of the boxes have busted open. Now, there is some goo in the fruit because it's glazed cherries, glazed pineapple, stuff like that. But inside the cardboard box, they're double wrapped in plastic. So none of the boxes are leaking. So I start moving. I said, what is this stuff? And I pick up a box, and I see that the puddle is connected to the box. And as I pick the box up, even up to my head level, 6 feet, there's a shimmering line of goo.
Mm.
And I realize that a 50-pound box of cherries, due to some amazing bit of luck, it probably couldn't be recreated on a Hollywood soundstage, has landed squarely on a 1.5-gallon bottle of corn syrup.
Ooh.
Now, there's some sticky stuff when you make fruitcakes.
Corn syrup.
Corn syrup is earwigs.
Ew.
There is
nothing
worse.
You might remember that Rob Spiewak kitchen corn syrup. Ew.
Now, I know that last year we had an oil spill. And I think that vegetable oil was probably the worst mess that we'd ever have to clean up. And
absolutely.
It was really bad.
How did the spill happen last year?
Last year, mixer error.
Yeah.
3 is high, by the way, on a professional grade mixer.
Yeah, we thought that was the time. That was the speed.
Yeah, it was. So when we put it on 3 and hit start, oil went up like... I don't know if you've ever seen the James
Dean
movie.
With love.
Mike, if you've ever seen the James Dean movie Giant, where they have the surprise oil gusher. Oh, yeah. That was the kitchen.
How about we go with There Will Be Blood?
Also good. Yes both good.
How about make it contemporary? Right. Yeah, no one's seen Giant, but a lot of people have seen There Will Be Blood.
So I'm looking at the corn syrup, and the thing is, it's not just corn syrup. It's corn syrup that's been oozing out and sort of drying for an evening. So any sort of liquid nature to it has been diminished.
Yeah.
And so I think, how am I going to, what are we going to?
It's lost its viscosity.
Yeah. And so I get like a piece of cardboard and I said, maybe I can scrape it up. And I just push it with the cardboard and it just changes the shape of the puddle. That's all that happens. There's no getting it. I can't like.
So it's like toffee?
Yes, it is tar or toffee or something of that really sort of like the blob. It is like a monster movie.
Can you peel it up?
No, because it's still a little bit liquid.
Well, like in Creepshow.
So I get a second piece of cardboard and try to like do a squeeze method. And all it does is come up and out. It's just, there's no grabbing it. And yet,
you're like floor level, so this has got
to
be.
On my knees. Don't like getting on my knees because that means having to get up off my knees. Not great. So by this time, Riddell comes in, Twitch, and bless his heart, he says, well, what's happened here? And I'm so happy just to see another face. And I'm like,
someone competent, please.
But he's excellent, and the cleaning is sort of tabled for a second. We have to sort of back burner
it. Can I just interject? Yes, I'm so grateful to people like Mark Shannon,
is a good man.
And Tony, and everybody, and
Addie,
Kathy, my stepmother, who loves coming in.
Really, guys, thank you so much for doing that. It's not unappreciated on my end. I know that this is all done for this show, and really, thank you.
I probably only stared at the corn syrup for about 4 minutes before Mark showed up, but it felt like a lifetime, because I'm really just trying to figure out what we're going to do to clean this up, because all of this has to be handled before we can even begin the beginning of the fruitcaking. Because we haven't even, my car still has eggs in it. I mean, we haven't even unloaded the car yet.
Were you concerned that by yourself, physically, you would not be able to successfully clean this up?
No, I could have done it, but it was nice to have a friendly face. Where Mark came in handy is we were able to sort of bucket brigade to get the boxes restacked because the boxes had fallen and rolled around the room. So we got the boxes out of the way, wiped them as good as we can to get off the corn syrup. There were some other items like a chair and some baking tins that got corn syrup that had to be cleaned. But then once we got everything out of the way... It was Hell's Kitchen. We still have the puddle, and I would
say... You never put 700 pounds of ingredients on a capacity table that can handle 200. You moron. You effing moron.
And then the other guy says, we want a stainless steel bar.
Take your jacket off.
So when all the stuff is restacked and cleaned, we get the table out of there, and we look. There is probably, and I'm not exaggerating, a 4 by 5 foot puddle of corn syrup. Just spread thin over the floor. And I figured out the only way to really get it up is to pick it up with my hands.
Oh.
Like and pick it up like this, like pinch it up?
No, sort of, no. Scoop and hold and drop. Scoop, hold, drop.
Is it a clean break from the floor, pretty much? Or
No, it's leaving residue everywhere. But I got to get the majority of the gallon and a half before we can even think about mopping. So I get most of it up.
Poor thing.
Poor
deer.
Saturday morning.
The worst. It's now about 8:30, and I'm remember in Ghostbusters when Bill Murray
when he gets slime.
He says, I just feel so funky. That's what it feels like, and it is so sticky that I can't even communicate. I can't touch anything. I'm looking down. My hands are because it's corn syrup on the floor. Mm-hmm. Everything that's ever had a bit of dust, a speck of dirt, is all stuck to my hands. And so we get it up. We find out. We get the. I do this. I go wash my hands for
a pretty appetizing picture.
Yeah, you're really selling us here.
Oh, this is not the. This is miles away from the ingredients, folks.
You go and surgically.
Wash my
storage
hands.
Where the cardboard is.
Exactly.
And the heavy duty tables.
And so we get the mop and we start cleaning, and the mop sticks to the floor. The soapy wet mop sticks to the floor. I go like a swipe.
Yeah.
And all the hanging.
This is like. This is turning into peanut brittle.
Yes, and so
can you just light it on fire and it'll just
go away? I was going to burn the bakery down and collect the insurance.
So the only thing that's going to really move that is probably heat of some kind or a chemical.
Actually, you know what? Tell you what, if you spill corn syrup, you know what cleans it up? Dawn dishwashing detergent.
Oh, the be all and all.
Oh, man.
The greatest stuff in the world.
Just like those little birds when the Exxon Valdez broke
precisely.
Open.
Precisely.
Yep, so, yep. Dawn today. It's an incredible product.
Hot
probably
water
someday
and Dawn.
Be meant to kill us all, but that's okay.
Well, Hot Water and Dawn eventually got it up, and we got the floor clean. We got another table down.
By the way, fantastic singing group in the early 1970s, Hot Water and Dawn.
That's after Tony Orlando, right?
No, it's before.
Oh,
before
okay, and Tony then Tony Orlando. Came in and fixed
Hot
it.
Hot Water and Dawn. Hot Water, unfortunately, you know, I mean, boy, that was an alcohol problem. Yeah. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
So then we get the ingredients restacked. We get a new table down. Mm. We get everything organized. I'd say we started cooking. I wanted to start at 9. I think we started probably a little after 10. And we had a very successful first day. I don't want to wow you with numbers, but I did tell Mike we got nearly 600 cakes made the first day, which is an amazing feat. Second
that's great.
Day.
And don't give the totals. Don't give the totals because that's how we sell. Okay?
All right, but I'll just say.
I don't care. I know you do, but I mean, you know, we're very, very excited about the potential of
I will
selling
say
all these
that
cakes.
We record-breaking totals, and we had a very successful wonderful. Day.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you're getting hours and baking done together, do you have a minimum? You're like, if we do this, then maybe we'll do this. Because last time it was like 3 weekends of baking.
I have a mental plan
Has
of what we need.
Has the system improved
itself? He's on it this
itself.
Time. He's on it this time.
Well, also keep in mind, when we started last time, we didn't know what potential we had.
I'm this is a legit question.
And so I actually went back on the notes that Shannon took and the notes that I took, and I knew where we had to go, and we have surpassed it. So
is there room for improvement?
Always.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
for example, you improved from last year, a lot, right?
Yeah, a lot.
On your first weekend, even with the corn syrup debacle,
there's room for improvement.
How does McDonald's make sure that the little burgers, just like in that movie, are the same all the time? Like, how do you do that?
Because we measure twice everything. We are very precise. One of the best things that I can say, if you're baking on a big scale, you don't want to measure by, as a rule, cups and ounces. You want to measure by weight.
Oh, wow.
Weight is important. Every fruitcake is identical in weight. Pony's
just like
job.
The cocaine game.
Pony is a scooper, and he makes sure that every cake is the same size.
Grams, huh?
Because very, very detailed.
Very, very detailed, because you know what? Even a variance of 10 or 15 grams of cake, they will bake in different rates. And so.
He's your detail guy?
I watch over him like a hawk.
With like numbers?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Every cake is identical. And also,
are you kidding me?
He's never alone.
Get the number responsibility. The captain, the guy that used ADD, they show his picture in the dictionary.
He's never alone. He always has someone. Well, he always
was his mom there? Did Glenda come by?
No, Glenda did not come by.
Oh, my God. What are you doing? What are you doing?
But you know what? Dude. Actually, I understand.
The only numbers he knows is the 80 milligrams he takes every day.
I understand your thought about that, but know that he proved his skill last year as a scooper. And this year, he had varying partners.
Oh, he's done it before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, and right. We're not making him solve anything.
No. I understand.
It's just weighing things.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be A-okay.
And Pony's a joy in the kitchen because, you know, it's something that is so communal and fun as baking. I love a guy who keeps earbuds in.
That's right. It's exciting. Very exciting.
You only hear the same thing three times.
I said, hey, Pony, can you? What? What?
No.
What? Okay.
Yes. Good way to do it in a room full of communicators is to have earbuds in.
Yeah. Mm.
Broken. You're right, Oscar. Anyway.
If he wasn't scooping, I had another job for him, which was to lay on the floor and cover the corn syrup.
Oh, yeah. Did he get it all up?
Yeah. Oh, it's cleaner than when we got there. Absolutely.
That's exciting. Yeah. Well, keep me posted. Congratulations on a great weekend of baking.
Thank you.
And boy, oh boy.
Love my workers.
Those fruitcakes going to be in people's tummies for Christmas time.
Yeah.
We're very excited about that.
Hello there. I know it might seem counterintuitive and maybe even silly to take advice from a promo, but I'm something of a famous radio pitchman. So this is something you can believe in. My mother always said that you can trust a man with facial hair. And if you have any confidence at all in the wisdom of a mother, it's time to stare at my drawn-on mustache and heed my words. Do you need a little more laughter in your dark, secluded, lonely life? Sure you do. You need the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. For pennies a day, the Bonus Show will take you from zero to hero. And all the ladies will be digging your scene. Grab it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. You'll be glad you did, and we'll be glad for you. Buy the Bonus Show and make me smile. A big, flashy, fake, insincere smile. You earned it, Pajango.
The best of O'Mara.
News!
Well, there's a little delay when I hit the button. I'm not sure what caused that. Come on, computer.
It's slow.
Enjoy your little break.
There you go. 2020.
All right.
Spinning rainbow.
A few months back, the Houston Astros were accused of cheating their way to a World Series win in 2017. And now there are reports that the Boston Red Sox cheated in 2018.
Boston born and Boston bred Sox?
Yeah, the year they won it all. Three anonymous people who were with the Red Sox in 2018 said that Boston players would go into the team's replay room, watch footage, figure out the other team's signs, and then relay the info to the dugout. Then someone from the dugout would communicate with a base runner who would use body movements to alert the batter. There's no official comment from the Red Sox other than to say they'll cooperate with the investigation. Meanwhile, the potential punishment for the Astros is expected any day now. I guess now the Red Sox are going to be watching that.
It's delayed, though, because I feel like this is prevalent in the game.
Yeah.
And also,
is it probably a norm that they're just going to put the kibosh on? I think that's what it is.
I mean, but how can you really stop it? It's studying. They're putting signals out there,
but they're using they're using technology that has never been on the books before to say, "Hey, you can't have somebody in a secret room looking at the bullpen, recording the actual catcher's signals. And then, by the way, the Astros, next level, alleged had like Fitbits that would pulse to let the batters know what was coming.
Wow.
Wow. I can't imagine that you wouldn't think that's awesome.
It's alleged, next level, but cheating.
We're going to cooperate with the investigation.
Well, and Oscar's right, because the allegations, it says here, against Houston are more, they're more serious.
Okay.
Right. Including employee getting the signs off a live feed from cameras aimed at the pitcher and catcher. The employee would pick up the sign and communicate to the batter directly by beating on a trash can.
They had to do that when they couldn't actually hear or feel, because it was so loud. I took a deep dive on this, Mike, because the tech was so, and I think that's what got me,
right,
was so impressive that they allegedly had in the dugout a screen that they would cover when other guests were there. But that screen was used in the dugout that wasn't visible from the field to see what signs were coming through and then transmit the signal to the batter.
All of this began some years ago when Fox debuted their new feature, the Mike Socia Crotch Cam. And it was
Mike Socia.
But as thank a baseball you fan, yeah, and a Red Sox fan.
I think he right was a catcher, wasn't he?
What do you think?
I think it sucks, and I think they're going to get a slap on the wrist. But I think going forward, they'll probably implement a much more heavy, you know, you can't go back and take the World Series away.
But it still sucks.
I mean, guessing a pitch is a huge part of batting.
Yeah.
Knowing what the guy's going to throw a breaking ball is a huge deal. That's the only way pitchers get batters out.
They don't need to slap them on the wrist. They don't need to slap them on the wrist. They just need to send a shock through the Fitbit.
Thank you.
Speaking of Mike, just briefly, sidebar.
Yes.
I'm going to try to work this out as soon as the show is over. But Ryan Zimmerman is literally, 10 feet away from us?
Yeah, about.
Talking to World Series ring owner Ryan Zimmerman.
Yeah. Talking to the Bush family.
Wow.
I'm going to get that contact info and we can do.
Yeah, ask him if he wants to relax, come in and have a little fun.
Why not?
Fantastic.
Lock the doors. Lock all the doors.
Lock all the doors.
Phone the neighbors, phone the kids. Dog the Bounty Hunter shared a photo of himself with a woman named Moon, and she might be his new girlfriend, which is a little wild since it's only been 6 months since Dog's wife Beth Chapman lost her battle with cancer. Dog's daughter Alyssa claims it's true, tweeting that Moon is basically an opportunist who's taking advantage of him. She also said that Dog is a grown man and he can do what he wants, but she won't support it. However, Dog is downplaying it. He told Radar Online that while he will never marry again, Beth gave him permission to date other women. He said he's been in a dark hole and really lonely, and that Moon is helping him get through it, because all he was doing up until this point was licking his own balls.
Because he could.
That's a great joke that I laughed. That's the one I told you about, but I couldn't deliver it.
Saw coming. Funny.
I know
worth
you
it
saw it.
Worth yeah, it. No, worth it.
I
worth
love it. I love
worth
it.
It. Worth it.
Why, by the way, the joke, one of the great jokes of all time. Hey, why do dogs lick their own balls? Because they can.
Exactly. Exactly.
The greatest joke. That's one of the greatest jokes of
all time. If he's not hunting bounty.
Oh, God. Dog, what are you doing there? Yeah, because I can. Oh. When Tom Hanks accepted his Cecil B. DeMille Award at the Golden Globes, the cameras panned quickly to Henry Winkler. Why? Is there some kind of connection between these two? Well, yes, there is. And that connection is hatred. Apparently, these guys have a beef going back 30 years. That's because Henry was the director of Tom's 1989 comedy Turner and Hooch until he got fired 13 days in because they didn't get along.
Oh, my God.
They're allegedly two of the nicest guys in Hollywood. I love Henry Winkler.
In a 1993 interview, Henry said, quote, "Let's just say I got along better with Hooch than I did with Turner." By the way, Turner was Tom. Hooch was a dog. Big, yes, drooly, sloppy dog. So who knows? Who cares?
I had a poster of Henry Winkler when I was a boy. I care. I want to make sure he's not a dick. Yeah. I don't want him to be a dick.
Girl Scout cookie season has just started.
Tell me about it.
Adorable little crack dealers slanging it out there. There's something new this year. There's a new addition to the Girl Scout cookie lineup for 2020, and my disappointment was palpable when I read it's Lemon Ups.
Boo! They already have a lemon cookie!
Boo! Pinky.
Boo.
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 Boo. God, come on. This is, listen to the two fat guys in this room. Lemon Ups.
What's a Lemon Up?
Lemon Ups are round, crispy lemon wafers with a layer of glaze on the bottom. It's a lemon cookie with sugar on it. That's
Boo!
It. And it's got motivational phrases like, I'm a leader, stamped on the top. Like,
here's a motivational phrase. Make something with chocolate.
Yeah.
Is this the first time they've released a new cookie?
No, no. They do it all the time.
They last do it, year, but I mean, like, I give you the Samoan, okay? One of the great cookies of
Samoa.
All time. It's a Samoa. It's,
that's a staple.
Sorry about that.
You want a Samoan.
The Jason Samoas.
That's right.
They are. They can really talk they to are fish. A Girl Scout. They're a Girl Scout cookie, but they're a cookie that stands alone. That's what they need to
mint.
Do with Girl
a
Scout.
A thin mint stands alone.
Thin Mint spectacular, but really Lemon Ups. Stop it.
Yeah, suck. Yeah. Keep citrus survey, away from it.
A new survey in England found our energy level peaks at 10:28 a.m. each day.
We got 10 minutes.
10 minutes, everybody. That's when the average person feels like they have the most energy, but then it plummets and bottoms out around 2:43 p.m. Unless you're Oscar Santana, that's when he wakes up.
So true.
That's good news for afternoon drive disc jockeys.
All right.
I was like a midday guy.
Right.
The survey also asked people to list things they feel like they're just too tired to do on any given day. And I guess Brits hate exercise as much as we do. So they gave the top 10 things they hate to do in Britain. Exercise, cleans. No, that's not what I wanted. I want a ding. No, I want a ding.
That's it.
Exercise, clean the house, have sex. Well, I don't know about that one. Put your clean clothes away, cook dinner, go for a walk, go meet up with friends, wash the dishes, go to the gym to exercise, go to a friend's place to hang out. I give that a ding, but I'd do that.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. Just go to hanging out.
If you had friends.
Hey, go to a friend's house to have sex and exercise.
If I had any real friends.
Three of them.
And now a little something something. 67-year-old Brian Kolb is a Republican assemblyman in New York. He was first elected back in 2000, and back on New Year's Eve, he was driving drunk and crashed his SUV into an embankment near his house in Victor, New York. Then when AAA came, his first instinct was to blame it on his wife. He told the AAA worker, quote, "My wife was driving. You know how women drive." I can't believe he's a Republican. The worker called 911 because the SUV had hit a utility wire.
Mm.
Sure. So the cops came, and they smelled alcohol on Brian's breath. Mm. It turned out his wife wasn't even with him in the car when he crashed it. His blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit, and he was arrested for driving while intoxicated. We are awaiting a comment from his wife. We are still trying to find her. We are Googling the luckiest woman in the world and trying to find her. For the first time in 2020, ladies and gentlemen, I give you one of the regular features that has taken hold at the Mike O'Mara Show. We like to call it Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take.
A review and comment on the news of the day is only our Bolivian Bloviator can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana in no way reflect the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or any of the solid right-thinking, right-wing citizens of the
really?
United States.
That's new.
I don't know. No, I won't do it again. And now, Oscar's Take.
Hey, Oscar's Take.
Yeah. Oscar sources say Prince Harry and Meghan Markle could be punished for stepping back from the royal family. One even thinks Queen Elizabeth is more upset with them than she is with Prince Andrew for being linked to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. I don't know what the punishment means, but maybe cutting him off.
Mike,
cutting him off from the money off.
And gentlemen, yesterday I mentioned that... you know, if you're a fan of The Crown, you're watching this right now, and you're like, what is going on? Why would they walk away from this? What the latest reports out of Buckingham Palace, Mike, are that the royal family is going to break up with them before they break up with them. Now, what does that mean?
Turned it into a Freddie Prinze movie?
It's the idea. Thank you. Yeah. It's the idea that they're not going to let them leave on their own terms. that within the next 48 hours, whenever you listen to this, we're recording this on Friday,
yes,
they're right, going to be out. Because well, what good. They because what they want to keep.
I don't know why I'm rooting for the royal family.
Because this is what they want to keep.
Because it's a dick move.
They want to live in Canada and in London, but they want to keep their Windsor estate as part of this like divorce. And if I recall anything, when my mom said, when you leave the house, you leave the house.
Don't you see? I think I know I like why you're rooting against the family, because don't you see them in bed in some fabulous canopy bed in Buckingham Palace? And she's saying, don't you think it would be nice if we had all this, but more?
Yeah,
don't you think it
I
would
agree.
Be nice if
it's
we
a
could?
Duty.
Yeah.
It's
do
a
your
duty.
Job. Do
it's
your job, Bacon
there
Barkle.
There are people, it's bigger than them. And yeah, can it be a burden? Of course, watch The Crown. You want to know how much of a burden it is? Mm-hmm. Watch The Crown and see what a burden it is.
Why
it
settle?
Is. Why settle? You can select. But that's a good take. Yeah. We'll keep, and I like that, you know, that window this weekend. Let's see if anything shakes loose. Yeah. I find the story fascinating.
It is, it
but
is.
By the way, this isn't the first time a royal has ruffled the feathers of the royal family.
No.
You had, Edward.
That's right.
Abdicated the throne.
Yeah, but
and Queen Latifah.
I love.
Queen Latifah, who is
different type of royalty.
What's that?
Different type of royalty.
Oh.
Oscar Brad Pitt won a Best Supporting Actor award for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on Wednesday. Bradley Cooper presented him with the trophy, but apparently he had already given him something more valuable.
Oh.
After accepting the award, Brad said, quote, I got sober because of this guy, and every day has been happier ever since. He didn't provide any details, but Brad also took a shot at another friend saying, quote, it's nice to be able to leave this thing carrying something other than George Clooney. That's funny. That is very funny. So he's giving Bradley Cooper props on helping him get sober.
If I'm not mistaken, which I'm not, Bradley Cooper got sober at age 41.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a long format interview. I'll give credit to on the Howard Stern show where he said that.
Ooh.
Howard Stern.
Oh, okay.
Who?
I think Howard Stern. He said that at 41, he realized
this
that
jockey.
His career and his life, if he really wanted to take it serious, and he really wanted to
what age were you when you got sober? What age were you, Robin?
I would
Robin,
love.
What age were you, Robin,
I would
when
love.
You got sober?
Oh, Howard!
No, that's me.
What age were you?
Where's Jackie?
Yeah, like it matters. Like it matters that I'm sitting here making fun of the man that took all the money. And the legend, the man himself. Anyway,
we're talking about Bradley Cooper.
He took all the money.
Right. I love him. He did wonders for our business.
He did. He really did.
I mean that.
Bradley Cooper. He changed his own life. And I think, as we recall, we've talked about it here on the show, Brad Pitt's life imploded. Like he had right. the Angelina Jolie situation, the divorce, the kids, everything.
Right.
And if it took that and a friend to get sober and you give him credit on national, international, or international television, pretty
Bradley
amazing.
Bradley Cooper will be my guest on the Howard Stern Show. Mike will be interviewing Pete Holmes again.
We'll take Pete Holmes all day.
Yeah, we will.
What a great Absolutely. Guy. What a great guy. So that's my take.
That's wonderful.
To give respect, to say thank you to someone. And share that story. It's pretty. It's magnanimous.
You see a lot of stuff about a lot of people. You almost never see anything bad about Bradley Cooper. He comes off as a really good guy.
No, if you ask his ex-girlfriends or ex-wives, it's a different story.
Well, I mean, know from who you speak
you gotta
to.
You got to slide somewhere. You're listening to Oscar's
take,
ladies and gentlemen.
Oscar's take.
According to a new book, Oscar, about the 21st century etiquette, or about 21st century etiquette, as I read it correctly, leaving someone a voicemail is now considered rude. The book is called Kill Reply All, A Modern Guide to Online Etiquette. The author argues that there's, quote, no purpose for voicemails in the modern age, and having to sit through a two-minute message is super inefficient and inconvenient. I might be inclined to agree with that. She says you should never leave voicemails now, and if someone doesn't pick up, just hang up and send them a text instead. So there's that. What do you think of that?
It depends on the audience.
Yeah.
Because if you're dealing with someone that is hyper busy in this world of, you can have a job anywhere in the world and, you know, they're not going to pick up. text them.
Yeah.
That's a texting person. That is a texting element. If you're dealing with your parents, you got to call them, leave them a voicemail, and you got to text them. If you're dealing with, let's say, team members that you need to hold accountable, you can't find them any other way, you text them, you call them, you text them again, you text their wives. Exactly. Maybe they left their phone at home or they're still on silent in the studio. You got to decide.
I think the last three voicemails I've gotten have been Mike walking around.
I this is the worst phone I've ever owned. The iPhone X. It's the worst phone I've ever owned. And I did the thing where I was supposed to do, I don't want to talk about it. Right. You're listening to Oscars.
Oh, that's Oscars today.
Got to wrap this up. Taco Bell Oscar is going to start testing higher salaries to see if it helps them get better staff for their stores and encourage them to stick around longer. How high are we talking? $100,000 for a person to run the whole store.
Wow.
Right now, managers get paid between $50,000 and $80,000, but the labor market is tight with low unemployment, and Taco Bell is having trouble attracting good people at those salaries, so they're raising the stakes, and they're going to be testing the higher salaries at some of their locations in the Northeast and Midwest. There's no word on whether other fast food chains might also start paying people six figures to compete as a store manager.
This is BS. This is BS because if they were actually doing this and they wanted to test it out with proper candidates, they would be already they should already have given these people raises that are performing at a high level.
Okay,
Then said, okay, how is this moving the meter? Some of the most important, representatives of your company, especially when they become large, are the on-campus managers.
Sure.
And if you're literally getting treated like S all the time, and you've got turnover at a job that is an entry level job, and you're expected to perform, and you're still performing, you should be rewarding those people. Bottom line,
I agree. That's it. That's an MBA saying that right there. He knows. You listen to Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
And finally, Oscar, I have to tell you, this is delicate, so beware. I have to dance around this because I'm still broadcast friendly. It's time to state the obvious. Americans, yep, even teens and college age kids are having sex back there. A 2017 survey of over 3,000 sexually active millennials found that 35% of women and 15% of men are engaging in that kind of stuff, at least some of the time. But like most things involving sex, many people are loath to talk about the mechanics of it. Just look at how freaked out folks got when Teen Vogue published an explainer on the ins and outs of that type of activity in 2017.
The ins and outs?
That's a huge problem.
Right.
With that, you calm down, because I know you're chomping to talk.
Not a word.
I know you are, you horny little dog.
No.
That's a huge problem. Without proper knowledge of how to have safe sex back there, many young... You hear that? Sorry about that. Hey, I'm a professional. Getting to what I was going to say, on the podcast Next Question with Katie Couric, which focused on teen sex, Couric said she spoke with a doctor who claims that young people are coming in with fissures.
Okay.
Something health providers didn't have to treat in such large numbers in the past because they... guess they just don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Back there. There you go. I said that as gently as I could.
And I appreciate you being a gentleman about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best way to explain this. That sometimes, especially if you're in the D.C. area, you will have certain roads during rush hour that go in one direction. And it's in the one direction at that time. With this window of 3 hours, and then
we have 30 seconds.
In the morning, they go another direction.
Yes.
You have to choose to go inbound
25
on one lane before you go outbound on the other lane. So the inbound lane is the main one for those of you out there. Starts with a V, and the outbound lane starts with an A. You go V, then A. Never go A to V, because that's when you get the fissures.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. That was
like the hot lanes.
Yeah.
The hot lanes. Yeah.
Where do you put the fast pass?
H-O-V. We got a break. Thank you. That's Oscar's take.
Oscar's.
Hello, parishioners. It's me, Uncle Baby Billy Freeman. I want to thank all of you that have supported me by purchasing my Baby Billy's Health Elixir. Blessings to all of you. But I've recently discovered something that's even more potent, and it's my God-given duty to tell you about it. It's the Michael Mara Show on TikTok. beautiful, funny, spiritually uplifting, bite-sized clips of your favorite podcast. Perfect for yourself and for sharing with the congregation of your life. It's based on ancient scriptures and heals colds, flus, straps, even COVID. Just search Tiki Talk for Michael Mary Show and follow us. Heal the spirit to heal the body. Michael Mary Show on TikTok. It's your salvation. Or my name isn't Walton Goggins. Baby Billy Freeman. Amen.
The Best of O'Mara.
I'm trying to find this. I was looking it up, and it seems to be that Costco is bad for you.
What?
Because if
Far
you go
from
to Costco, yes, it's bad for you.
No, not me. It's good for me.
It's not.
Although
it's
I was not. Able to avoid it the entire long weekend. I did not go
you
once.
Didn't go?
What? Yeah, I think it's a Rube weekend. You don't want to hit it this weekend. It was closed, of course, Thanksgiving
First
Day.
Of all, before I'm trying to find this article, tell me how often you go, because that is relevant to, do you use it as your regular grocery store?
Pretty much. I would say 2.5 times a week if I went on a rolling average. 2.5, because sometimes it's 3, sometimes it's 2.
Because you buy in bulk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have the best milk.
What do you mean?
They have organic milk there that's fantastic.
Yeah, but you can buy that at any Giant or Safeway.
Yes, but the milk there is
Hold on,
cheaper
I got it
and
out
tastes
the
better.
Room. Hold on a second.
All right. He's going
to
excuse himself.
Do they have a little vacuum? I mean, not a little vacuum, a little milk container, the 2 gallon or the 1 gallon guy?
No, what you do is you buy 3 half gallons in a box. So you're getting 1.5 gallons.
Oh. Yeah, it's all bulk.
Yeah.
Oh, but I just never bought milk at Costco. I feel like that's too much milk.
Yeah, it'll go bad before you get to
it. Not if you have 2 kids.
Okay.
They go through it because it goes with the cereal that you also buy at Costco.
What cereal do they eat?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is a big mover. Carrie loves Cheerios. I'm not a Cheerios guy. Not a big cereal guy. But then there's bread, there's eggs, meats.
Yeah, but if you buy in bulk.
This is not Costco specifically. This is club store shopping.
Oh,
okay, it could
fair.
Be Sam's.
Says here, Sam's. Club stores bring together many of America's prized consumer values, efficiency, convenience, and savings. We all know that, right? But people shopping at warehouse club stores like Costco, BJ's, or Sam's Club are spending more on packaged food, making more shopping trips, and taking in more packaged food calories than if they didn't shop at a club store, according to a new study.
Oh,
that's the problem.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you think you're saving money and getting ahead, but it's not good for your health and it's not good for your pocketbook, says Kusum Alawadi, a professor Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business. That's where my nephew went.
Oh,
great school. And my niece's husband.
You only see like press release and PR pieces use the word pocketbook. That's bad in your pocketbook. Mm-hmm.
She says, in a best case scenario, you become a member of a club store, assuming that shopping there will save you money since you're buying in bulk, which means you can shop less frequently. The extra food you buy, you'll keep in your pantry and use over a longer amount of time. Fewer trips, food available, bang for your buck. Things seem good from my financial and health perspective. The problem is that's not what happens, Rob Spiewak.
Oh, no.
Her study found that those who shop regularly at club stores had a 5% increase in the amount of money spent on packaged food per person in the household, a 15% increase in the amount of time spent shopping, and an 8% increase in calories consumed.
Ooh.
Had they not shopped at a warehouse store.
I will give them the calories because when you see big, you eat big. At least I do. And then don't even get me started on the samples.
Rob Spiewak will be on his tombstone.
Yeah,
if
big.
You see big, you eat big.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people.
I'm Rob Spiewak, and if you see big, eat big. Thank you very much. Let's see.
Buy now and get a copy of the Wonder Bible.
Well, I know that
See,
the
God.
Calories won't bother you, but you will realize that you will spend. It says research found not only are you not saving, you are increasing your spending on packaged food by $350 per person.
Oh,
I would say,
per month.
I would say that would go to a Rube shopper, but I'm a pretty smart shopper, and I know what you should buy and shouldn't buy there. Don't go there.
What is your? How about the Rob Spiewak go-tos at Costco?
Milk.
What is something that...
Milk. Eggs.
He buys milk in bulk, Mike.
You buy milk?
I buy milk 1.5 gallons at a time. Does that make me some sort of disaster?
No,
am I
but
a
you
monster?
You buy
1.5 gallons?
Sure.
How long does it take the family to go through 1.5 gallons of milk?
About a week. Maybe a little less.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I got milk drinkers in my house.
What do you take your milk? How do you take your milk?
I don't drink a lot of milk. I will sometimes have a glass of milk. Like if I'm having, say, cookies. Yes.
Costco cookies?
Could be.
The ones in the bakery section?
Mike, you can get a container of all chocolate chip cookies, or one third chocolate chip, one third oatmeal raisin, one third white chocolate macadamia.
How many total cookies?
I would say a total of 24 cookies.
Basically, Jesus. Pony, if you want to figure that out on your terms, that's your allotment for the
year. That's a year.
It's life. lifetime of cookies. The lifetime cookie subscription.
Okay, so you'll say, here's what it said. I like this article. That's why I bookmarked it. You'll say, I paid $99, and I'm going to make sure I get my money's worth by shopping in the club store every chance I get as a way to justify more frequent store visits. Similarly, there's an increase of 2.5 shopping trips per month per person on average. And there are not only more trips, but the warehouse club stores tend to be farther away from people's homes than the supermarket. That doesn't apply to
It's the closest store to my home. Because I live in a great neighborhood.
Problem, though, because you say you're going 2 times a week.
Two and a half times. Well, let's say you run out of cheese.
What's a half
cheese.
Trip? What's a half trip?
I'm saying that I would say some weeks are two, some are three. So it averages out to 2.5.
Who consumes the most in your household?
Oh, me, obviously.
Okay, just to make sure.
No, really, is that true, or does your boy eat? I mean, he's at
I would
prime
say
eating
it's probably pretty close, but if we were to like sit down and actually go head to head and eat, I can still take him. But he is an eater.
I'm putting you on the spot here, but because always varies dramatically. But is there a standard shopping trip? If you go 2 times a week, you have a standard shopping trip to Costco. Can you give us the items that are the go-to?
The go-to.
Your staples, and then maybe throw in a few of the of treat
impulse
day.
Buys? Yes. Well, I will tell you, let's start with the impulse buy, because that's why you asked
I'm
the
throwing
question.
The article away now.
That's right. Right now is they lean heavy on pie.
Yeah, I didn't need that computer anyway. That sounded good, didn't it?
Oh, boy. That was not a newspaper?
I
think he's getting a laptop for Christmas.
That's how he rolls.
Again.
Yeah, something's wrong with my laptop, Oscar. I got to buy a new one.
I don't know. I just dropped it like I drop a newspaper. It's like a newspaper,
isn't
it?
Let me put my old computer down.
Right now, it's got to be a loss leader, but the $6.99 pumpkin pie, it cannot be beat. It can't be beat. It's about.
This is a regular trip for you.
Oh, this is if we need a pie. This is what I'm going to go to now. The pecan.
But
pie,
I'm just putting it in your cart.
That's right. The pecan pie is a little overpriced and not as good as a homemade. Will do in a pinch. But the pumpkin pie, unstoppable.
All right. So this is a regular trip, though. Yes. Not a holiday trip.
No, but I'm back there. Well, that's tis the season. The pumpkin pie started in
September.
So
you would grab a pie even when it's not like a.
Well, because I'm back there.
Because it's pie season. You're back there anyway.
Yeah, I'm back there anyway. Season. You're off the racetrack and you got to stop and you got to get your bread.
It's pie season.
It is pie season.
When do the playoffs start?
And the thing is that if you get a pie out of season, it's costly and it doesn't taste as well.
Get through this. Come on, we're up on a break.
Milk, cheese, lunch meat, probably like ham or turkey, something like that for the kids because they take their lunches every day. Bread.
What kind of bread?
White bread. but it's whole grain white bread, if that makes any difference at all.
Whole grain white bread. Very good.
Hot dogs, hot dog rolls, ground beef, apples. Yogurt. I eat yogurt for breakfast every day.
What kind of yogurt?
Chobani. Yeah, the big 20 pack.
700 like
it's dessert.
Little containers.
I
of
eat
Chobani.
It all the time.
Mm-hmm, but it's great. What the cherry?
I seriously peach have the greatest yogurt known to mankind. My wife makes homemade yogurt, and it's
okay.
And homemade preserves.
Now you're bragging.
I'm sorry. I'm bragging. I'm very, very proud of her. I'm very. And that Rob, of course, is making a biological function joke. Right
I'm not going to say anything. Not going to say a word.
I saw the way you reacted. Go ahead. Keep going, please.
Grapes, if they are in season, they have the best grapes there. Apples,
that's
the Honeycrisp have been very, very good.
Very good.
What else? Carrie likes to have carrots and asparagus as a go-to for...
Oh, I saw a news story on, CBS Sunday Morning with Jen Pauley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there is a new apple.
I saw the apple
piece. Cosmic Crisp?
Yes, and it's out in 2018!
Cosmic Crisp. Oh, my God. The Cosmic Crisp.
I almost took out a notebook. I almost took out a notebook. Even with Mo Rocha, I still was watching.
Yes, I want to be first. I want to be first. I want to be first. Cosmic Crisp.
Cosmic Crisp apples.
Thank
excellent.
You. Send us those.
Also, a canned string beans and canned chili.
Canned chili?
Yeah, that goes with the hot dogs.
That's it?
Oh, man.
That's it.
Okay, that'll set you up.
That's a weekly purchase?
No, that's just, those are the standards. When you run out, you re-up on those.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
There you go. All right. So that's, and then, of course, during pie season. How long does pie, and just to wrap this up.
See big, eat big.
Rob, I'm putting the T. This is T-ball. This is Omera Spiewak T-ball now. And just to wrap this up, Rob, how long how long does pie season last?
It starts in September and goes until September.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.